This morning, we do have a great topic. I appreciate the elders giving me this one, and I'm excited to be able to continue the But God series. As Ian's already said, our passage for this morning is in Romans 5, and in particular, verse 8. And the name I was given for this passage is But God Showed Us His Love. This morning's talk might not be the longest message you've ever heard, and I can, if you listen carefully, you can hear the sighs of relief from people at home. But it could just be the most important message you ever hear. In Romans chapter 5, Paul is trying to just massage gospel truth into the Roman church. You'll notice as you read this chapter that there are no commands in the chapter, but rather Paul is just trying to intensify their understanding of the gospel. Not intellectualize it, but help them to truly feel the weight of it. He wants them to deeply experience the gospel truth because he knows that when they really get embedded in the gospel, it won't just change a part of their life, but rather it will change their whole life. Absolutely everything. And that is the purpose of this morning's talk, to just soak in the good news of the gospel, to worship our good God because of the love thrown through Jesus on the cross. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you again this morning. As we look into your word, we just pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will unfold it before us. We want to not just learn more about you and grow in our understanding of you, but we just want to soak and deeply bury our roots in the good news that is the gospel message. And so, God, I do just pray this morning that as we look into your word, you will just unfold that and help it to be what we build our lives on. So we do just commit this message into your hands. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Romans 5, if you haven't already. So we're going to read verses 1 through 11, just because I quite like this chapter. It's a pretty awesome one to base your, strength on when you're going through tough times. You'll notice as we read that Paul is trying to produce in us a resilient hope in our God, a hope that is strong enough to last through all of our human suffering. And couldn't we all use some of that? And so I trust in the Holy Spirit to pour out the hope of the gospel message in our hearts this morning. Let's read. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. And here's the awesome two words, but God. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's just read verse 8 again, as this is the main text for this morning. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In In Jim Downing's book, Meditation, he compares Christian adversity to the mast of a ship. He explains that throughout history, both militaries and economies were dependent on these wooden ships. And these ships were only as good as the strength of their mast. The masts had to be able to endure the harshest and most challenging weather conditions at sea, the biggest of storms. Because if it snapped, then it didn't matter what else was going on with the ship, it was doomed. People would be lost along with the cargo that civilizations relied on. So what the best shipmakers would do is they would search far and wide and scope out what could potentially be a strong enough tree to be the mast of one of their ships. Ideally, they would choose a tree on top of a hill, and years in advance, they would clear out all the trees from around it, and then they would wait. This tree, all on its own, would have to endure all the wind, rain, and storms without the other trees around it giving it some cover. It would get tossed, beat back and forth, and tested by the harsh weather. So what it would have to do in order to stand through these storms is dig its roots deeper and deeper into the rich soil. It would have to draw upon the nutrients of the soil more than ever so that it would be strengthened enough to withstand the conditions. In the same way, we as Christians face the many different trials in our lives. So when we face the many trials in our lives, we are forced to dig deeper and deeper roots into the nutrient soil that is the gospel. In James chapter 1, we read that trials should bring us joy as it develops perseverance. Perseverance that is based on going deeper into the heart of Christ, relying on him, drawing him more and more. Because the gospel of Christ is the richest soil, rooting yourself deeper in the good news will produce life, joy, and resilience through even the harshest of storms. And so this morning, you're probably thinking like, man, how's this all linked together? But this morning, I'm really excited to be able to share on Romans 5 verse 8, because it beautifully shows us what the soil of the gospel is made of and why we can draw it upon it daily, day by day, even today, and whether that be for the first time or the thousandth time. So let's dig into it. Firstly, the gospel message is rooted in God's love. Our verse starts by saying God demonstrates his own love for us. At the very core of who God is, he is love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, God is rich in mercy because of the great love he has for us. God is, by his very nature, loving. Throughout the Bible, we read about it. We read how God longs to be gracious towards us, longs to be gracious towards his people, the Israelites. In Exodus 34, verse 6, and this verse is quoted time and time again throughout the Old Testament, because it's just God explaining his own character. Exodus 34, verse 6 says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. But our human hearts become so dark, so twisted and deceived that they actually believe the opposite. I often have conversations with people at work about God, and a common theme that I hear them say is, well, if God does exist, he must really hate us. If only they would actually read the Word of God. Because when I read the Bible, I don't read about a God who is quick to anger, but rather I see a God that is patient, time and time again with his people. With the Israelites, he sent prophet after prophet to beg them to turn around, repent, and believe in him, to turn from their sins so that he can withhold his wrath. We read about God sending Jonah to Nineveh, the most wicked of places of its time, because if they would just relent and turn from their sin, he would surely show them grace and stay his wrath. God is gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love and faithfulness. Amen. Our verse says that God demonstrates his love. He doesn't just explain it to us, but it is on display. The verse we read in Exodus is God describing himself to Moses. That verse we just read before, it's God, as he passes the mountain, sort of describing himself to Moses. And we just get a picture of God that is just so overflowing in compassion, grace and love. But there are 33 chapters in the book of Exodus before that passage. And in those 33 chapters, over and over again, God demonstrates his love for his people. Before he even explains his loving nature to Moses in that passage, he has already demonstrated it to him and the people of Israel many, many times. We see God's nature of love in the person of Christ as well. He doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. We read in Scripture of Jesus cleansing a leper, healing a centurion's daughter, healing a paralytic man, and on, he demonstrates his love, all leading to the ultimate demonstration of God's love for you and me, humbling himself to death on a cross for my sins. I tell you the truth this morning that God is love. We can draw on this truth day after day. I'm sure that you all have personal experiences and examples of how God has demonstrated his love to you as well. I can think of countless times that I have stuffed up in my life, and my life should be completely different than it is right now. But God demonstrates his love to me, and it's only because of him that I'm able to stand here today. We can draw on these scriptural and personal displays of God's love to make us strong enough to withstand the storms that are in our lives. Root yourself deeper into the love of God, and you will be strengthened. If this morning you are hearing this and realizing all the ways that God has demonstrated his love toward you for the very first time, if today God is explaining to you that he is love, please respond to him. He will change your life. But there's much more in this verse. And what makes this demonstration all the more amazing, this demonstration of love so incredible, is the second point that I've kind of talk about this morning, God's knowledge. And the second part of the verse, you'll read, it says, while we were still sinners. God's love is not ignorant. He knows you. In fact, he has known you, knows you now, and knows everything you're going to do in the future. He knows you at your highest point, but he knew you or knows you in your lowest of lows, stuck in your sin. The word while means in the midst of or at the same time as. It means that while you were committing your worst sins, the worst offenses against God, he took those into consideration when choosing to send Jesus to take your place. He saw you, knew you, and chose to lovingly pursue you, even in the times when you were actively in enmity to him. If this morning you are feeling the weight of your sin, if you feel stuck doing things you know are wrong, well, this message is for you. God knows you right now, and he wants you. It might be hard to believe, but no matter how far you have run from God, you've not run too far. His love can reach further. You may feel that you are unforgivable. But this verse means that in that state where you feel separated, God is lovingly looking upon you with arms outstretched, longing for you to turn. Repent and be reconciled. This offer is on the table right now. So again, I say to you this morning, please turn. Obviously, if you're at home watching this or wherever you are, then heed my advice this morning, I pray. It still blows my mind every day that at my worst, at my ugliest, God chose to gladly demonstrate his love to me through his son, Jesus Christ. I was lost, but God intervened, even while knowing that I was an awful sinner. Yet again, this is an amazing truth to be rooted in. When you are facing the storms in your life, remember that God knows you at your worst, and he still demonstrates his love toward you. You're starting to feel a bit more resilient. You're starting to feel rooted in soil that is rich in nutrients to make you strong enough to become the mast of a ship. Praise God. The last point for this morning relates to Brian's message last week, and it is about God's justice. I'm going to read the last part of that verse. I'll read the whole verse again. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Our sin is a weighty, weighty debt. We owe God a debt because the consequences for our sin are costly, and this debt must be paid in full. God is holy. Our sin separates us from that holiness. The hard part about this is that we don't have the means to pay for it. The only just option that God has is for us to be eternally separated from the goodness of him. That is the severity of the debt of our sin. Again, but God, while we were still sinners, came to our rescue. He has a plan to justly and fully cover this debt, a plan to pursue us while also satisfying the just and deserved wrath that we have earned. That is what Christ provides. He is a sinless Savior. He alone lived without sinning, and therefore he alone could bear the punishment that we deserved to atone for our sins. But praise God, Christ was resurrected, proving that once and for all, death has been defeated, proving that our debt has been paid, the account is cleared. We had insufficient funds to cover even our own individual debt, but Christ's atonement for all of us, to this very day, is yet to be expended or exhausted. It is available today for anyone to claim. Romans 10, verse 9, and I quote this all the time because it is one of my favorite verses. Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I know I've appealed a lot this morning, but I'm going to do it again. Believe in him this morning, and your debt will be paid. God will change your life. He will transform you day by day, fill you with his Holy Spirit, and everything will change. All because of that awesome line, Christ died for us. What an incredible but God moment. Christ died in our place, the just for the unjust. So what an amazing truth that we find in this sentence. You know, it's only one sentence, but it just lays out the gospel so well. Christ loves us, knows us, and sees the rightful, just punishment meant for us, and he runs towards it, willing to pay the full price to clear our debt. And so as believers, we need not fear justice. Instead, we can pursue it. We spend our lives sharing this message and try to see sin stamped out in people's lives through the saving power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, if you haven't got the strong tree theme yet, I'll bring it back. Again, I say, church family, put your roots deeper into the truth of the gospel message. Do it this morning. We are called to be a light in this dark world so that people may look upon us and see the reflection of God's love that we have received through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. So when the COVID restrictions finally ease up and someone walks through the doors into our church for the first time, they should see a family of people who are resilient, strong, and our faith unshaken by the storms of life. Not because of anything that we have done, but because God, demonstrating his love toward us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Father God, we just stand here completely humbled before you, because we know that our sins carried such a huge debt, a debt that we could never pay. But God, we stand here confident, strong, resilient, rooted in the fact that you had a plan, that you had a plan to send your son to pay that debt for me. And so God, I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for your love. I'm so thankful for the fact that you demonstrated your love in such an amazing way. And so God, as we go about our lives, Lord, I just pray that you continue to change us, grow us more and more, help us to dig our roots deeper and deeper into that truth. Help us to put on the helmet of salvation so that our mind is protected from the deceptions of the evil one. Our mind is rooted in the gospel truth, and it can't be shaken, no matter how strong the winds are or how heavy the storm is. You have a plan for us. You are growing us into a strong mast. And so, God, we do just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.